this is Lisa Russick and Misty Lord with the podcast We Are All Psychic. And today we have Jennifer Love back finally at last. It's been like months and months and months and months. And I guess since her birthday month. And Jennifer, do you still think we're all psychic?
Yes, we are all psychic.
Okay, thank you. So, Misty, would you like to introduce our topic today?
Yes, I would love to introduce our topic. We are going to be talking today about past relationships and how they might affect our relationship that we're in right now.
Yes, that's it.
Yes,
beautiful.
Yeah,
Jennifer's going to help us through this because we've all done this, like Misty said, when we talked about the topic a moment ago before we started the recording. And, you know, we can all relate something. If we've been in a relationship and start another relationship, we can relate to this. I can.
Right. And I think it never ends.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it stops, but it's really like to the degree you allow it to affect your relationship is the key, right? You can either, you know, it either affects it to a great deal or not as much, but we're always going to be affected by our past relationships in a positive or a negative way. But the point is to be aware of it and learn from your past relationships, right? We always want to learn from our past relationships and move forward with it. But the two things that I was thinking about when we started talking about this was, you know, not allowing the past to damage your relationship that you're in now is the first thing, right? But you're either being triggered by something or you're not allowing your partner to change and grow. So those are kind of like the two things I think is like key to kind of being haunted by a past relationship that's
you mean
a
your
problem,
current partner, right? Your current partner can't grow if you can't move on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If the past relationship is a problem, then you might not be allowing your partner to grow. So I think we all know what triggers are, but if you don't know what a trigger is or what I'm talking about, a trigger or an emotional trigger, it's, you know, something that kind of sets off a trauma that's happened in your past. It can be like a sound or people or thoughts or smells or a situation that you're in. It's the best way to tell if you're being triggered by something is if your response is disproportionate to the event itself. It's like an overreaction, right?
Yeah.
A normal person wouldn't react the way that you're reacting to the same thing.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
So the little like, you know, phrase is if it's hysterical, it's historical.
I've never heard that. I love it.
I love that.
That's what psychologists say, right? So for example, I wanted to bring an example from my own life. So for example, I was running late to meet my boyfriend for a date one time, and I was so scared and anxious of his reaction to me running late. And I texted him and he said that it was fine. But then when I got there, I burst into tears.
Oh, no.
And you can say that that's quite an overreaction, right? Most people would not normally freak out like that because they were late for a date with their boyfriend that they've been on a date with hundreds of times.
Yeah.
So I had to like, so he held me, calmed me down. It was fine, you know, and then I got to like sit there and like think about like, why did I have that such a severe overreaction to being late? It was just such a weird thing. And I kind of like thought back into my past and I realized, you know, it wasn't stress. It wasn't traffic. You know, it was really that I just unearthed a memory of my late father being extremely angry if we were late anywhere.
Wow.
And it was really like, you know, it was a trigger for me.
Right. And you didn't realize it at the time?
No. I just don't like to be late. I really don't like to be late. It really stresses me out.
Yeah.
To be late anywhere, really, but to be like late for my man was very stressful.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like my dad.
Yeah.
In a
weird way.
Yeah.
Man.
For me.
It's a man of authority in your life who you love. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of like an emotional trigger, right? So that's the kind of a way I can explain it. So are there any triggers that you can think of off the top of your head? I mean,
I'm
giving you time to think about it.
Yeah, but time to, how long should we make this podcast? trigger.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Missy, you want to go first? Right.
Because mine is like a cleanliness. Like my mom was a clean freak and that made me a clean freak. And I've really had to watch myself because my family, they're not clean freaks. And it can be very stressful for me if the dishes are not put in the dishwasher. It makes me anxious and
stressed out.
And stressed if something's not done properly, it makes me stressed. You know, if things aren't what they're supposed to be, I freak out about that. And I've really had to work on that throughout the years.
Yeah. Yeah. I can relate to that. It's not my issue. I'm a slob, but
my daughter is the opposite too. So yeah. I've really had to work on it. Yeah.
Yeah. But my partner, Michael, is a neat freak, like, because I guess his father was OCD.
Yeah.
So it's an issue.
It is, especially in relationships.
Especially if your partner is kind of messy.
Yes.
Like me.
Right. Or doesn't really care.
Yeah. 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 What about you, Lisa?
I guess maybe a trigger is conditional love. Like you have from the past, you know, that I would look at. Like you get love if you do this. You know, you get the feeling of love, you get respect if you do this for me that I tell you to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is conditional.
If somebody sets you up like that.
Yeah. Or they have conditions. And if you don't do them, you're out, you know, or there's something wrong with you, or you're going to be yelled at, or you're going to be put down or whatever, you know, conditional love. I mean, I understand people have boundaries. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like, well, today I love you and yesterday I didn't, but today I do. So, you know, because you did what I asked you to do yesterday, and yesterday you wouldn't do it. So you did it. And now I love you again is what I'm used to. So that's a big trigger for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree for sure.
Yeah.
So how do we get past these things, right? How do we heal ourselves of these emotional triggers? The first thing is to be aware of it, right?
That's why I asked you, you knew right away that was going on for you and you didn't. But when I react, I don't know it until I look at it. I usually find my fault. That's what I'll say. I'm like, why am I saying that? It's because that's what they always told me. It was always my fault, you know, that things weren't.
Sometimes you don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know. It's your insecurity. Like, you know, maybe you grew up, you know. Oh, I just know that love is conditional all the time. And so I'm expecting
it's the only thing I knew. So I didn't know there was another way. You know, I don't know. I still don't know there's another way.
Yeah. There is. You know, but if you know that you're constantly, you know, fighting with your partner or just that you're having these big emotional reactions, you might want to think about like maybe I'm being triggered and like try to identify your top triggers. And see if, you know, there might be something underneath that. And, you know, it's okay if you need the help of a therapist to do that, because not all of us are totally aware of all of our issues all of the time.
Right.
And so you might need to
dig psychic or something to work on, like pulling some stuff out. You know,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And there's nothing wrong with getting help from somebody else, because we're not always aware of all of our own stuff. You know,
it's
totally fine to get help from someone else.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, I called Jennifer Love for a love reading just a week ago, a few days ago. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Getting advice from an intuitive or psychic or seeing a therapist or even pulling cards on your own might be.
I do that a lot. Sometimes I just interpret them because I'm so.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't interpret your own cards. Yeah, if you're too close to it. Yeah, a lot of people can't do that, especially
like every card is hateful and angry.
They can't do their own. So, you know, if you've kind of identified the trigger, you can figure it out. What it is, you next want to say, you know, where did it come from? What's the story that I'm telling myself all the time? Like, you know, most of the time it is from childhood, right? We've all three of us identified a story in childhood, right, that this trigger came from. So if you are able to identify it, and it usually does come from your childhood, that, you know, whatever the story is, from a parent or a caregiver, that this is how it is, you know, but you have to stop and question that. Is that really how it is? You know,
yeah.
Am I really going to die if I'm not on time somewhere? Or am I going to be like physically harmed or yelled at?
Yeah.
Probably not. Yeah. You know,
you will yell at yourself.
Story. Yeah, it's a story I'm telling myself, but it's probably not what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of reprogram your negative beliefs and say, what evidence do I have that that's going to happen?
Just let it go. Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. Every time I'm late, is that really what's going to happen? No, I need to like kind of reprogram those thoughts. What's another possible narrative? What's another story I could be telling myself that there's another possibility maybe that could happen? You know, maybe if I'm late for work, there might be negative consequences. You know, if you're late and over again, maybe there would be, but probably not physical harm is probably not one of them. Maybe you get fired, but you're not going to get physically harmed or yelled at, you know? So you might lose out on situations if you're late somewhere, right? If you're late to the movie, you might miss half the movie. Right. Yeah. You won't know what's going on, but nothing's gonna really harm you. Right.
Right.
So,
right,
you know, there's going to be consequences, you know, for your actions, but, you know, and then the next thing you want to do after you've kind of like rewritten that story is kind of imagine the future of you as whole, healed, and complete. So what would I do differently next time? So like in Misty's case, you know, she might have overreacted to, you know, the dishes in the sink, but maybe next time she might say, you know, family, can you help me do the dishes? Or family, this is how I would like you to do the dishes. Or maybe on Tuesday night, you're going to do the dishes. On Wednesday night, this person's going to do the dishes. So like, just how would I envision it next time so that I
envisioning it first. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Visualize.
And, you know, maybe then,
you
make a plan, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not going to work out that way that your family's going to do the dishes, but
you know, it's funny, but
maybe that won't work out.
It'll calm me down if you just envision it. Maybe it'll happen.
Right. And maybe you envision, you know, okay, that pile of dishes is just going to be there, but I'm just going to take a breath, you know, and I'm going to be calm. It's still going to be there, but I'm going to just breathe through it the next time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to react. So whatever it is, you know, how would you like to react? How would you like to behave? I don't need to, you know, have an anxiety attack just because I'm 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late. It's going to be all right. You know, everything is going to be okay. So that's kind of like those triggers and emotional triggers. Yeah. And how to get past them, how to heal.
That's
them.
Really nice.
The other thing. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing was, not allowing a partner to change and grow, because that was kind of something that I was thinking about, you know, if you're haunted by the past, it could be because you're just kind of clinging to an ideal or something that's not
reasonable.
Yeah. Or just something that you don't want it to change. Right. So for example, like say someone who has always been a pushover is now trying to set boundaries in your relationship.
That's me. Yeah.
Or you're trying to talk about forgiveness with someone who, you know, has made mistakes in the past, but now they're trying to make amends. Or like someone who's attempting to improve their health, but this person has fallen off the wagon somehow. Or like, you know, there's someone who's anxious, but now they're trying to act easygoing. You know, so if your partner is doing something that's like out of character, or they're trying to change who they are or change their behavior, sometimes it feels very uncomfortable. Or like, why are you not acting like you? You know, even though it might be in their best interest to improve their health, or like, I want you to act a certain way. Like, it's good to set boundaries, but now you're no longer acting like a pushover, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's just that,
it's a codependent, you know, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But we kind of judge people for like what they do and what they don't do. And then, yeah. then we judge them when they try to do things differently. So it's kind of like a catch 22 sometimes.
Yeah. So, well, it's hard. You know, the main reason I think we're doing that in relationships anyway, romantic ones, is because the traumas and the triggers, they've been triggered too many times, you know? Mm-hmm. So we want to get some control back. And as far as the other partner, the one who has to watch that person get the backbone, say, and shove them, or, you know, shove them back a few times when they haven't really crossed any lines, they have to be patient and talk with the person instead of getting angry and shoving back or walking away.
Yeah.
You know, understand where the person is coming from. So yeah, that's totally.
Yeah.
I know, like, I've known people who, like, for example,
it's complicated.
Yeah. Like with alcoholism, I've known people in my family, like, who were codependent on the alcoholic. And when he got sober, the wife's like, well, you're not the same. You're not you. I want you back.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead and drink again. Yeah, I'd rather you drink now, you know, stuff like that.
Because their whole identity was wrapped around being the helper, right? Mm-hmm. Being the codependent. Yeah. So they didn't have an identity without that person being an alcoholic. So the whole dynamic has to change once that person has stopped drinking.
Big things like that take a lot of
work. The whole family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are little things with it. Like for say, it's really hard to explain to someone new in your life, even if it's been, you know, maybe like in my example is I've always been in long relationships. So people who get into a relationship for a year or two and have never been in long relationships, it might be something they don't know, things that people who've been in relationships for 10 plus years that know about, you know, how you handle things and how you don't. But it's when people are so sure they are right, that's where I think a lot of the trauma and triggers are hidden, because they're so sure. So somewhere in that certainty of either partner, any partner, you know, anybody, whoever, they're so sure that they are right, there's probably really something down under there that hurts, you know? So
that's so true. Yeah. And I think that's true about what you say about people who've been in long-term relationships and people who haven't, or they don't remember how to be in a long-term relationship, because, you know, this like disposable culture that we were in, we've been in, you know, people have these very short relationships, 1 or 2 years, 3 years, and they just churn, you know?
Right.
It's less frequent that people are in very long stretches.
Okay.
That's what I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, 47 people I know have been at one point had a long-term at one point.
Yeah.
And the ones who do that in and out thing, the 3 years, they'd been in that relationship and it sucked, hurt really bad, and they don't want to do it again. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Not even worth the risk.
Yeah.
To them, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all constantly growing and changing as people, but, you know, it's hard to think about, like, if my partner changes, then I might have to work on myself and take responsibility for my own negative behavior and then change along with them. Like, just like the alcoholic example that you brought up, you know, if that person improves their behavior, then all of a sudden the codependent has to do that same thing and move along, or else they're going to get behind or, you know, or struggle because they don't know how to, you know, live with this new improved version of their partner.
Right.
So, you know, or if you're just like comfortable with the way things are and then your partner changes, what happens? And that it happens a lot too when people like find spirituality.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
The partner doesn't.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, you're so weird now. I can't relate to you.
Yeah.
And I've you know, a lot of my clients, I find out my clients,
my spirituality is not about you, Mista.
And I think, and I just tell my clients, you know, it's okay to have different spiritual beliefs than your partner, you know, as long as they respect you and respect your beliefs, it's okay to be different.
And you respect theirs.
So and you respect theirs. Yeah. So yeah, it's just, you know, I just want to emphasize that like getting to know your partner is an ongoing process. You're never done and you're never like okay, I get you now. You know, they're constantly growing and changing and you're constantly growing and changing. So you should always be getting to know them all the time.
Yeah.
Because think about where you've been in the last 3 to 5 years and where you are now. You're different, right? Ooh, everybody's different, even in the smallest, tiniest ways. Some people have gone through big changes and some people have gone through really subtle changes, but you're different. So your partner has changed too. And maybe it's very subtle, but they've definitely grown and changed. I mean, everyone has changed because of just the pandemic alone.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has changed. Yeah. So you need to get to know your partner all over again. And ask questions, you know, like ask them, like, what kind of person do you want to be?
What do you do if they don't answer them? What if they don't like questions and they get frustrated? You know, some people realize the trigger of theirs. They don't like a lot of questions. That's why I had my first husband was like that. He didn't like a lot of questions. So I didn't ask him after. Oh. Should have.
Well,
now I know why he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, but well, like, yeah, I feel like that's more of a communication issue. You have to know like how your partner likes to communicate.
Yeah, at all.
And yeah, that's probably a bigger issue in your relationship.
Yeah, rather that was than, the like, issue in that first one.
That might be a bigger issue. Yeah, I don't know that. But yeah, I mean, maybe that's not the right question to ask. Maybe there's a different kind of question. But like, you know, who you want to be at the end of the year, like. What are your interests? Like what are your hobbies now? Is it different? You know, I mean, I'm sure you kind of, if you feel like you know your partner really well, you know what they're into, but maybe, you know, maybe you haven't checked in with your partner for a while and you really don't know what they're interested in and what they're up to. Maybe every time you get home from work, you guys go in separate directions and you really don't even know what they're up to lately or what podcast are they listening to and what TV shows are they interested in now? And what book are you reading? I have no idea. So yeah, I mean, I don't even always know what TV show my boyfriend's watching. And sometimes I have to ask him because I'm like, what are you watching now? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just sometimes it's good to ask those questions and figure out. I mean, I know he plays hockey every Tuesday, but I don't always know what TV show he's watching this time.
Right, yeah. Just curious. You know,
it changes. Yeah.
So it just changes too. Yeah. And if you are, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe he doesn't know the big question, like, who do you want to be in 2023? But, you know, what TV show are you watching is a pretty innocent question that I think most people are cool to answer.
Yeah.
What podcast are you listening to now?
They're listening to We're All Psychic, and that's why there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gandalf's
just one more thing, like the biggest thing that I always tell my clients, it's like one of the 5 steps in the book that I wrote, and I'm still working on it, but one of the biggest things that I always tell my clients is that, you know, you really have to let go of the past. And since we're talking about past relationships, one of the things about being haunted by a past relationship is when you can't let go of the past. And so I find a lot of people hold on to stuff from their past relationships. If you're holding on to anything, whether it's like a gift that an ex gave you or like a t-shirt or movie stubs or love letters or anything like sentimental, I'm a very sentimental person. And I hold on to everything, like everything.
Yeah.
But don't hold on to stuff from past relationships.
Yeah.
Unless it's your child.
That's what I was about to say. A picture with the kid in it stays.
your children is the only thing you can get sentimental over. Everything else has to go.
Yeah.
Even wedding rings, engagement rings.
How do you release some of these things? What kind of advice would you give? Like meditations or like?
You can go through like a full moon release ritual. I like to get a cauldron and burn it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Burn it. Obviously some things don't burn. You throw it away. You can sell things that are valuable. Like if you have engagement rings, wedding rings, sell them. Like they're valuable.
Yeah.
I just would not, or if, you know, if you want to, obviously if they're like family heirlooms, you want to pass it to your children. That's different. But, you know, don't hold on to stuff because there is like energetic attachment there. And that is really blocking you from your current partner or potential future partners.
Okay.
So I really encourage my clients and people that I talk to whenever you enter a new relationship, please like discard the past. The letters and your memories will always be there.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to forget. And you know, you don't have to like get rid of your journals. That's okay. But like love letters, cards.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Sentimental stuff.
Okay. Yeah, so what advice do you give if your partner is holding on to stuff like that?
You don't see it. It's not in your space.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it's not under your control. It's not like you go into their home and take it.
So, no.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that, really.
Right.
Yeah. That's breaking entering. We don't do that.
Well, no.
Just being like metaphoric and you're being literal. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no. I understand what you're saying. It. But yeah, that's they're holding on to that energy, but you're letting it go. So, right. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the person you're with now, Misty, or the person like you're talking about?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the ex. Like,
I think she means the one.
No. I'm talking about if you're with somebody and they're holding on to stuff from their past and you're with them.
Oh, you need to encourage them to get rid of it.
Like, what ways could you do that?
Can you throw that stuff
out? I meant like the emotional stuff. The emotional.
I don't know. It's just a question. I didn't say it was going on. I just saying, you know, if
burn it. I'll burn it for you. She's
alone. Yeah. She's too. That's funny because I was dating this guy and he was telling me, it's just so funny. He was telling me a story that he hooked up with some woman and like the first night she slept over, he had to go to work. So he let her stay, you know, in the morning and was just like, oh yeah, you know, just lock up when you leave and whatever. And he came home and found out that she had like cleaned out photos of like stuff that he'd kept of like other women, you know, mementos.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say he should clean out his house just as
yeah.
No. Like he had saved like gifts that, you know, other women had given him, like sentimental things, like in his nightstand, you know, stuff, you know, personal stuff. Letters and like cards and you know it was obviously like love, you know, related.
Yeah.
And she threw it out. Mm. You know, and they'd been on one day and I was like, that'll teach you to hook up with somebody.
Yeah, really.
Careful, take your time, walk you through the park. Walk through the park a lot.
And I was just like, yeah, how do you let a stranger like in your house and just not even, you know.
I guess he does.
You don't even know who they are.
Yeah. I don't know if that's weird.
Sounds like you're very trusting. Yeah. So, yeah, that just made me think of that. That's
really crazy, funny. Man.
Pretty yeah. random.
He has some triggers too. As someone, would you do with that person? Yeah.
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 Looks like they both got issues.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That sounds like, you know, I don't think I could like go into someone's house and throw away their things. Even if it's in their best interest.
I know. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
He was holding on to too much stuff, obviously, but yeah.
So Misty, do you have any other questions for Jennifer about this topic or anything you can think of?
Well, I'm just, you know, wondering, you know, you said you could try to help the other person get rid of some stuff, you know, but yeah. I mean, do you think that it means that they're still holding on to their past if they still have this kind of stuff around?
I don't think that they're like intending or like, you know, they may not even, you know, really like the guy in my example, I don't think he's like really pining over women in his past or like really intending to like, hold on to them energetically, but you know, in a sense he's kind of like blocking the energetic flow of allowing new people into his life.
Yeah.
I would encourage the partner to like, you know, do you really need these things? I would have a talk, you know, like, yeah. you know, are you, what are you getting out of this? Like, why do you need these things? That's in the past. And, you know, not that it bothers you to, that you have it. It's just that, you know, you don't need it. And yeah. like, it really, it's really like energetically blocking, the current love from you being able to receive it. Yeah. There's a really good book by Denise Lynn. It's called Energy Strands, I think. Mm-hmm. And she goes through all these different ways of clearing your energy, in your home, in your personal, like, energetic field. And there's all these different ways of, like, cutting cords and clearing energy. Yes. So there's obviously, like, different methods to clear your energy, but, you know, there's inviting white light down, you know, like I said, there's burning things, you know, and mm-hmm. asking angels.
It's a process. I think it's a process. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
Where you don't even think about someone anymore and mm-hmm. something like that. It's a process. You have to, like quitting smoking, pop the band-aid every time you think about a cigarette. And, you know? Oops, and I just broke my bracelet.
Oh no. Oh no.
Cigarette, I guess. I don't know.
and it's different for different people. Sometimes people find it very hard to let go of someone, and some people take months, and other people it's days, like, okay, I'm over it, you know. So it's different for different people. Yeah, and some people are like, oh, you know, I'm never going to forget my first love. And it's true. You're never going to forget that person, but it doesn't mean you have to hold on to the letter that they wrote you when you're 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And it's going to make someone feel bad that you have that as well, you know, and you don't throw it out. That says a lot.
Yeah. 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 Like, do you really want to
make let's say your wife finds your first love's love letter after the day after you first made sweet, sweet love, you know, and of course he kept it or something. And because he wanted to remember his first time or something. I don't know. He kept it and she finds it. And you've been together 3 years or something. You know, maybe she's got something to say. Why do you have this? Maybe she's cool with it. I don't know. But why if she was to go to him, or she were to go to him and say, you know, this makes me feel kind of weird. You know, he better have a good reason or get rid of it. Yeah. For her feelings, if she's more important than his memory, you know,
women are a lot more sentimental than men. I'd be very challenged a man holding on to stuff than a woman, but like I said, that man told me that story about,
I know men hold on to,
and I was shocked. Yeah, I was shocked that he had all that stuff. I was like, wow, I didn't even realize men hold on to things like that. Yeah,
they're very physically, they're taught that not to feel too much, so the objects can be the thought, like the symbol of how they felt at that time, you know. That's what I think. That's how I think of, like, a lot of men are taught that, at least in our generation.
That makes sense.
They're not so much, like, my kids' generation, not so much. But, you know, most of the men in my generation are older. They just never knew how to, they've never learned how to express their feelings, ever. Men who are, you know, like heterosexual dating women.
I was looking at Valentine's Day cards for my boyfriend, and one of them that seems to be popular is one that says, someday you'll find this card in a drawer and we'll still be in love.
Oh,
I love that.
I love that.
And it's funny, like, cause you know, people do save cards and they mm-hmm. just, you know,
I do. Yeah.
Hold on to them. And I guess with the, you know, fast pace of our lives and all of these things, you know, do people really send greeting cards anymore? We don't mail them as much, right?
Yeah. Oh, I do.
I like them, and I like to give them and whatever, but yeah, it just made me think, like, oh yeah, it will still be in a drawer and hopefully we will still be in love. And I don't even know if he saves the cards that I give him, but yeah, I save the cards that he gives me.
I bet your guy does. And I bet every guy who's ever.
That's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, but you're right. I do think men probably do save cards like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with any emotions written in them or any kind of sexual mm-hmm. stuff. So a lot of men, that's
sexual expression. Stuff.
Well, it's their expression of how much she loved them. You know, that's how they kind of, that's how they are. So a lot of men, you know, they express themselves sexually with their body. If it's not sexual, then it's a hug or they're touching, mm-hmm. you know, men are very, they don't know how to talk about themselves, their feelings. They're told not to in our generation anyway.
And that's why Playboy is so popular.
They're always reading for those good conversations. Yeah. And they get their emotions out.
Yeah, yeah. Get their emotions out.
And on that note, Jennifer, where can listeners find you? She's been here a million times, but we haven't done this since like 4 shows ago. Where can
couple of months. Oh, I'm at jenniferlove.me. Yep.
That's where you go. And you can find her on Instagram, on Everclear, and everywhere, actually. Just think about her and she's there. Like, And Missy, I want to thank Everclear. Speaking of Everclear, Everclear is our sponsor. It's an advice website and app where you can get advice from psychics and empaths so you can get the clarity you need to create the life you deserve. And I am an advisor on there under Leesa, L-E-E-S-A-P. Letter P. And Jennifer is under there under Jennifer Love or Jennifer L.
Jennifer L.
Jennifer L. I'll put all of her stuff in the description of the podcast, listeners. And Misty, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
And fun. Listeners, we love you. Thank you so much. And you know, burn all that stuff.
Burn it.
Or don't leave them. I know. We love you.
Don't take it.
Yeah. I'm gonna do some like kind of bath tonight, I think, like a purification bath or something, and just kind of get some energy off me.
Yeah,
that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, that's good.
And if you don't know what a purification bath is, it's like whatever you think would purify your mood, you put in water and you soak in it. I use essential oils.
Yeah,
so thank you so much for listening and have a great time wherever you may be. Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.